That song we sang is like a worship song, and I think that we need to worship him this morning. Amen. You know, because why I just came out is because of that song. So I don't know, can we just sing one song and let's just worship him? So I don't know, is there any
Lord? In His presence we stand. He cares for us and beyond our crown. Come, Holy Spirit, preaching us now. Praise, joy, and peace.
Oh, Here we have to bow down. Here we have to say that you're my God. You're altogether worthy. Altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me.
Amen. Amen. Let's just worship him. We say he's lovely. He's worthy of our praise. He loves us. Hallelujah.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Oh Lord, you are more precious than gold. Lord, you are more precious. Lord, you are. You are more precious than silver. Oh Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamond. There is nothing I desire compared with you. Oh, singing hallelujah, Lamb upon God's throne, we worship and adore you. Lord, make your glory known. Singing hallelujah, glory to the King. You are more than a conqueror. You are Lord of everything. Oh, singing hallelujah, Lamb upon God's throne, we worship and adore you, Lord, to make your glory known. Singing hallelujah, glory to you, the King. You are
Amen. Let's sit down. Father, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, for giving us today. Oh Lord, we thank you for preserving our lives. We thank you for calling us out, for choosing us, calling us and choosing us. Lord, that you might justify us and glorify us. We thank you. It's according to your own good pleasure. It's not because of anything that we have, but because of your love for us. We thank you. We thank you for every one of our lives here. We thank you. We thank you. We bless you, Lord, this morning. We thank you, O God, for regarding us. David wrote and said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? What are we that you are mindful of us? We are nothing, but Lord, you so love us that you gave your only Son to die for us, to suffer for us, Lord, to bore our sins, and to die the death on the cross, O God, for us, that we might be redeemed, that you might adopt us also as your own children. Lord, this mystery, this secret is too high for us to understand. Lord, it's too high. Lord, that's why we despise, Lord, this gospel of the cross. Lord, to those who are perishing, you say it's foolishness to them. Yes, Lord, to our human mind, it's like foolishness. Because we can't imagine why a righteous person should die for us, wicked and wretched people. But Lord, to us, it is your wisdom. And it's your power to deliver us. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies. Since your mercies are new every morning, and your faithfulness towards us is always great. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. You know us. You know all our ways. Lord, you know our hearts. You say the hearts of man is desperately wicked. You see the wickedness that is in our hearts, but yet you love us. And you still draw us to yourself, still call us. You preserve us, you preserve our lives. Like the songwriter says, it says you have not brought us out to abandon us here in the wilderness. You brought us out, and your purpose is to take us in. Your purpose is to glorify us. You called us, you chose us, called us. You sanctified us, justified us, that you might glorify us. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for everyone that is here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. We pray, O God, that you help us, Lord, to hear you speak to us this morning. You know, that we will not hear our voices, but, Lord, in the words that we will express. Lord, even if we are not able to express it exactly, Lord, you by your Spirit will grant us understanding. That every one of us, Lord, will be able to understand what you are saying to us this morning. And that it will profit us. Like you told us yesterday, that your word does not return to you void. That the words that by your unction you help us to speak to ourselves this morning, the instruction that will come, the rebuke that will come, Lord, you help us to understand, and let it not return to you void. Let it accomplish the purpose for which you are sending it to us this morning. Let every heart be blessed. Let every soul be blessed. Let every soul receive energy, life, and be lifted up, receive grace and strength and ability, Lord, to follow on. You said we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Lord, we pray that the eyes of our souls will be anointed to see. The ears of our souls will be anointed to hear. O God Almighty, that we'll be able to perceive that which is your will and your plan and purpose for us. This is our prayer this morning, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. I'm going to try to, you know, be expressing some things, but I will try to combine, well, teaching and with preaching. So those of us who have maybe notebooks, and then we want to encourage you, because we do it a lot. You can see me, I have my own notebook, and Brachiyoko has his own, and Ebere has. So we need notebooks at times, so that we'll be able to, you know, as we look at these things over and over again, or maybe you can listen to tapes, if you have tapes. I don't think you tape, but maybe it would be good to keep these tapes. So you listen to them. Okay. So you listen to the tapes and you write, you know, just the way you study. And that it says the workman should do a study, you know, to show herself approved. To be able to give an answer. Because there are so many things that God has been saying to us here. When you go out, when they ask you about it, you will be shaking. You may not be able to. How many of us believe that there is rapture here? Rapture. You know, from here, if I can fly out, you know, I will not land, I will just go, you know. That jerk. How many of us believe? But the people ask you outside, there is rapture, and they quote their scripture. Will you be able to now give them the scripture and explain to them? So that is it. So that's why we need to study. To be able to give account of that faith that is within us. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we need to study. Because we find out that in the scripture, it's as we get to know him, he says, all the blessings of God, all the things he has provided for us, are in Christ. As we get to know him, we get to partake of all those things that he has promised us. But if we don't study, we can't know him. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We should not be as those who ever learning and never coming to the knowledge. We will learn, and we're not able to come to the knowledge. That means that during the exams now, you know, you keep on failing. But if you learn and you come to the knowledge, exams, you just smash it. Praise the name of the Lord. So we need to learn. All of us, God has said we are a priest. You know, when we call priests, we're thinking of the Catholic priest that is there. In fact, that's the people that use priests. Okay, Anglican people use priesthood too. But all of us, we are priests. You don't know, we are priests before God. You know, representing him. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, that first worship song we sang, we say, Lord, you're loving, you're caring, you know, all that. And that is truly who God is. In our times, when we get born again, we think that God has just called us out. And when we begin to, a lot of people go back. Because when they come, become born again, they think that God will now is supposed to supply them all that they need. There should not be any trouble in life. Anything they want, they just tell God, I want this, he gives to them. They want this, God gives to them. Yes, God does to children. When we are young, God gives us everything. You know, when we are born again, God gives us everything. But when you begin to get matured, there's no person who will want a mature child to continue to be in the house. It says that we come to a point when we become teachers, when there will not be need for us to teach, to ask people to teach us. We become teachers ourselves. Praise the name of the Lord. So God has made provision for us. Provision for you. He did not just bring you out and then now say, well, go ahead. Anything that happens to you, I don't care. God's plan is to bring us, deliver us from the kingdom of darkness, deliver us from this world, deliver us from the corruption that is in this world, and set us free. Say, give us liberty, you know, so that we can love him, and he watches over us to take us to that place where he wants us to be. Where does God want us to be? Or what does God want us to be? Does anybody know? What does God want me to be? Huh? He wants us to be a son. What does it mean? Songs like which type of song? Huh? Amen. Which type of song? Do you know? Wants us to be like Christ. That is God's plan. God's plan has never changed. That is His plan. All that God is doing with us, blessing us with good things, taking care of our health, bringing us to fellowship, to share fellowship. One single purpose is that He wants you, He wants me to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus in every way. Be like Jesus in character. Be like Jesus in spirit. Be like Jesus in demonstration of the power of God. That's what God wants us to be. God does not, He didn't just bring us out to become human Christians and be ourselves. He wants us to be like Jesus. That is the vision. That is the vision. He wants us to give up all this, my human nature, my bad nature, my bad behavior, to be like Jesus. That was why Jesus died. He died for me, He died for you. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is God's vision. God does not have Anglican Christians or Catholic Christians or Baptist Christians or Pentecostal Christians. God does not have God's purpose. He has Christians who are following Him, whom He wants to be like Himself. That is just God's plan for us. And everything that He's doing is working for that single purpose. But the devil's plan is to frustrate that purpose, is to make sure that we don't get into that God's plan. So he comes, he distracts us. The whole environment is all distracting us, like we've been told. Praise the name of the Lord. And it's going to be even more. It's going to be even more in the time in which we are in, because we are in the last days. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. Well, as we look at that Matthew chapter 24, I want us to keep at the back of our minds that God has already made a plan for us to be able to overcome this age. Amen. He has put things in place, hallelujah, to make sure that we believe that these our souls are saved. In fact, that is why God is beginning to talk about the soul. He has put a lot of things in place. If I draw back into destruction, it's not because God is not able, but it's because I decided to stray away and I decided to play around with my birthright like Esau did. You know about Esau, is it not?
Yes.
Oh, he didn't bother, you know, just all over. You understand? He was interested in outside food. You know, bush meat and, you know, good food. It was really in his belly. Hallelujah. So he didn't bother. So when he came to the time when he was supposed to get the birthright, he had the birthright. The Bible says he cried and said, "Father, don't you have any little one remaining?" He said, "Sorry, I've given everything to your brother." Pardon? And that's how it's going to be. And so, okay, he said, so shall it be. When God pronounces a blessing, He doesn't take it back. Hallelujah. That is why you may find some people say, men of God, in quotes, they're operating in the spirit, they will heal people and all that. Meanwhile, they are living another life. Because God pronounces a blessing, gives a blessing, He doesn't withdraw it. Praise the name of the Lord. Let us not be like Esau. God has made provision for us to overcome, to enter. Made provision for you and for me to be like Jesus. As we submit to Him, as He's leading us, He said in the scripture that He's going to put what? His law in your inward part, is it not? He said He will write it. He will make us obey Him. and that he's going to be our what? He's going to be a father, and he's going to be our God, and all that. He says he's going to do it. God does not tell a lie. And he's doing it, he's trying to do it as he brings his word to us. But if his word doesn't enter into my heart and stay, is it God's fault?
No.
It's because my heart is not receiving it. You know? The sower. You can say, so he just sows the seed. God's seed, God's word has a purpose. If it falls on good ground, but if the soil is not good, it doesn't accomplish God's purpose. So it's not God's fault. Amen. It is my fault. That is why God was speaking to us yesterday about choices. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Children can do anything, because they are just ignorant and they don't know this thing. But when we grow up and we begin to know good and evil, God will expect us. His spirit encourages us to choose the good and hate the evil. But when I decide to choose the evil, that means that it is my choice. Esau decided to choose and sold his birthright. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So the time in which we are in are the end times, and these end times are called perilous times. They are difficult times, and there are special things that are manifested during this period. For example, this period in which we are in are the period of great, when it says, Bible says, great deception. You know what deception is? Somebody is deceived. Somebody deceives. You think you are right. Somebody comes and speaks, and you are deceived. You see, you think this is godly. He said there will be false prophets and false teachers that will manifest, that will come, and will deceive many. There will be miracles. So, Brent, this period are the period when there are a lot of things the devil will just play on your face. Oh, this is the thing. This is the thing. You know, this is life. Enjoy life, especially the young people. You find this internet, this phone, this WhatsApp and all that, it's a great deception. And you find everybody, old, young and all, everybody, say the old and the young, everybody is following. There's a broad way, everybody is going. And only very, very few even find the narrow way. So this time is a time of great deception. And it's a time of great trials. Fiery trials. The time of great tribulation, the Bible calls it. Praise the name of the Lord. Any man who thinks that this time everything will be easy. No, I will enjoy life. And you are deceiving us. The person is deceiving himself. Even if you have all the money, the worldly people say money answereth all things. It's Bible. Okay, say money answereth all things. Okay. Yes. So everybody is pursuing money. Get it anyway. Just get it. You get the money, and you see somebody who has the money. I mean, the way he's walking, he feels he's God. You understand what I mean? I have the money. And he has the money, he can steal the money and use the money to jail you. Use the money to oppress you. He has the money. He uses the money, you build a 10-bedroom house, but he can only sleep in one. He will have 20 cars. There's somebody I said he has these, what type of cars? He said, is it? It's not. Where is this American car? He has them different brands. He has about 20 of it. But he can only drive one at a time. Amen. So there's a lot of things. The enemy deceives us. So much deception going on. You know, people have been drawn away. And he even says the abomination that maketh desolate. Now, this lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will escalate And that is what the devil uses against us. See, somewhere you're going, you see people gathered. People are gathered there and all that. You will want to see what is happening. What is happening there? And people have gone, you know, people walking. You just see people gathering there. You didn't know that they are playing this wayo, this thing. They will go and say, what is happening? By that time, somebody picks their pocket. The devil wants to destruct lust of the flesh. You are enticed. Especially young people, you are enticed. You want to be like the other people. Oh, you want to wear earring because that makes you handsome. Young people want to put their caps behind. They don't know that is the spirit of rebellion.
Yes, sir.
You know, rebellion, spirit of rebellion. It's not only one side, though. It's Babylon. You heard of Babylon now. I'm sure you hear Babylon. Babylon is that is going against everything. That is what is coming against us at this time. And where is it coming against? Against your soul. That's why the scripture says that we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. Perdition means destruction. It says the son of perdition. But we are of them that believe to the saving of my body. Eh? Is it my body?
My soul.
Saving of my soul. Saving of me, Brother Hubert, is my soul. The Brother Hubert you see is my soul. This is not Brother Hubert. Because if I remove this shirt and wear Brother Beres dress. If I'm coming in the night like this, maybe I use something, pack myself and get fatter. And I'm coming in the night like this. You call me a Beres. But when I speak, you say, this is not a Beres. This is Brother Hubert. Because what he's speaking is inside me. Now, remove this cloth, this body. It's like a coat, a jacket.
That's right.
Remove this jacket now. The real man is gone. But the real man is still there. That's why God is talking about my soul. That is why God is talking about your soul. You are you. You don't even understand you are you. But somehow, like we are taught, the spirit of the man searcheth the man. You know who you are. Sister Sissy, don't you know who you are? You know your strengths, don't you? You know your strengths. You know your weaknesses too. You know those things you will not want to tell anybody. But God knows them. You tell God about them, but don't tell anybody. That is your you. Everybody, we know our you. Praise the name of the Lord. And the devil too even studies us. He knows those things you like. And he comes through that way. If he knows you like cars, he'll be showing you flashy cars. You know, he knew that Judas loved money. He loved money. Somebody was saying that he was stealing the money small. Jesus knew and he left him. He was stealing the money small. But he stole the last one after he sold Jesus and he couldn't return it. He wanted repentance. He returned the money, but he didn't know how to repent. He said he found no cause for repentance. He wanted to return the money, but that wasn't the way to do the repentance. He was to have gone to Jesus, well, I don't know, to say, Lord, I betrayed you. Have mercy. But Jesus warned him, but because he was overwhelmed by the money thing, Jesus, he's powerful, they can't catch him. Immediately they touch him, he will disappear, and I'll take my money. It's a deal. But he never knew. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is why, brethren, we have to be serious with ourselves. We have to be serious with what we are doing with God. We don't play church with God. But like we are singing, God loves all of us. And he has put everything in place for us. Amen. He has put safety valves for us. Safety valves. So I will talk about the seals of God. God's own people, like God has bought you with his blood. He has put everything in place to make sure that you come into and become the son of God. But I'm not preaching that once saved, forever saved though. You understand? Because you have your own self. You have to take a decision
to give yourself to God, to work with God. And you have the freedom, the liberty to walk off as the prodigal son. Give me my blessings. Alright? The father said, oh, where are you going to? I don't think he asked himself. He knew it was his entitlement. You know, some of us know what our entitlements in God are. Some of us know. You know it. You ask God, I want this. God, I receive it. You promise me this. I get it. You are satisfied. You get it. Like you were telling yesterday that God will give you whatever thing. He gave them. Right? He gave him. And he took off. The father was there. He said, the father already knows what will be the end of the matter. So he was there praying. That's the father we have. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That is why, brethren, repentance is very, very important. You know, in this our Christian work, repentance is very, very important. But you find out that in the churches, that is one thing that is lacking. There's no more repentance. Somebody was telling me the Pentecostal, this thing, they will have a way of explaining it out. They plead the blood. And go ahead. The preachers, they just go do all kinds of things and mess up themselves. They come out and plead the blood. And they come and pass minister to you, in quotes. Minister to the congregation, in quotes. But what is really happening, they are passing across that spirit of adultery or fornication or what on the people. The spirit of lust, they are passing it over into the people. That is why, brethren, you have to be careful where you go to. As we are here, we are laying hands on each other, one another. We are laying hands. How do you, it's not laying hands, it's covering. We're talking of covering. As I'm speaking to you, you are listening to me. You're submitting to me. You're submitting to the word that I'm speaking. And the spirit that is in me is also passing across to you. Amen. So if you sit under a minister that is living a reckless life, that spirit will automatically get transferred. And even worse, if you allow the person to lay hands on you, it passes across. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So that's why, brethren, we need to be careful. He says that we should walk. What does he say? He says that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Circumspectly. So, well, it's not the fear of God. Oh, God is a thorough. But fearing God as a father that you will not want to displease. As a father, you want to please all the time. Praise the name of the Lord. So God has put everything in place. Even in this difficult time, this time of great deception, He said, if it were possible, but it is not possible. If it were possible, even the elect shall be deceived. But because God has already put everything in place to cover you, to shield you, the elect shall not be deceived. But the elect has to be at the right place at the right time. Praise the name of the Lord. And the elect has to pass through all the different processes or levels or stages that God has put in place to be able to put a mark or a sign on you that this one belongs to me. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We know that there are, you have three feasts. We know. What is the first one? Is feast of
Passover.
That's the one that the people are celebrating. The one that is coming up
next week.
Then after that, the feast of what? Pentecost. And then the tabernacle. Well, that's the three broad feasts. And brethren, each of this feast represents an experience. And each of these experiences, something happens to your soul. There's something that God deposits in your soul. There's a mark, there's a seal that God puts in your soul to say, this one is mine, don't touch.
Amen.
Hallelujah. At the first feast, you receive the ministry of the blood. Alright?
Yes.
You receive the ministry of the blood. We are redeemed by the blood. We're going to look at some scriptures. And that blood stays on you. It's a mark. It's a safety mark. What happened in Egypt? That Passover, what happened? You know the story about what happened now? When God was bringing them out, what happened? God told them they should what? Kill, slaughter the lamb, kill the lamb, is it not? And put the blood where? Doorpost and on the lintel. And everybody should stay indoors. And should eat what? Unleavened bread. That this night, the angel of death is going to pass. Alright, and the firstborns will be killed. What will happen to the Jew, the Israelite, that comes out that night? And then he comes out, say, let me go and see what is happening. What will happen? And he's there like Esau, who say, oh, he likes freedom. You understand? He likes freedom. He wants to. That will be the end of it. But he says, stay in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you are born again. You must be born again.
Amen.
To be under this covering, to be able to say, I'm not of those that draw back unto perdition. You must be born again. Because that is the starting point. You must know that you are born again. You know, these days we see, yes, born again is because it's God's, it says it's God's foolishness to receive Jesus Christ and you're born again. It says it's foolishness. But then something happens in your life. One soul, if one soul is saved, what did the scripture say? That there is great joy in heaven for one soul that is saved, one soul that is born again. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Please, if you're not following, just stop me and ask me, because I'm trying to explain this in the simplest way I can so that we'll get it, because it's very, very important for your safety at this time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're saved. Oh, remember the day you're saved. It is not a small thing. In the first place, it is the precious blood of Jesus Christ that saved you. It is the life of somebody. You know, somebody says, that, okay, you can hear it, how do they put it, who will die for whom? But, it's absurd to hear that a righteous man died for an unrighteous person. You know, a righteous person who didn't do anything had to give his life for a criminal. It's not a small thing. He suffered the death on the cross. He died like a criminal. Somebody was, I think, was the one describing for us how they kill the criminal, the Jews, how they kill him. They nail you to the cross. It's a slow, painful death to make sure you suffer. You really suffer. That one, if they cut off your neck, then that is it. If they kill you, that's it. But this one, they kill you slowly, slowly, slowly. That's how Jesus was killed. So it was a lamb to the slaughter. When they were slapping him and beating him and putting this in and caning him and all, he did not utter any word. That was on the tree. The devil wanted him to utter. I told you now what the devil wanted. He wants us to come against God. That everything, when he comes and he's teaching you, he wants you to say, oh God, what is this? What type of God? Can't you save me? But Jesus never uttered a word. What the devil was waiting for was to see Jesus grumble. And then he came and looked at him, he found nothing in him. But Jesus went all through. So brethren, your born again experience is not something that is simple. That is why in heaven there's always great joy. When a soul, not two or not three, I'm not talking about when there's a crusade. How many people want to give your life to God? Oh, people. Can you imagine what joy will be in heaven? Because there was a spiritual battle that went on to be able to deliver your soul. It's a battle between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And when a soul is saved, there's a victory. Somebody is delivered, somebody is recovered, and the kingdom of God, population of the kingdom of God is increased. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that blood that was shed is still there, is speaking for you. And that is why, brethren, we can come to God. So when Jesus died, what happened? The veil. Before, it's only the high priest that goes in. And when he goes in, like Brother Chijoko was telling, they will tie something on his neck. When they wait, everyone is quiet, quiet, quiet. They will shake him first. When they hear the bell, they say he's alive. Bro. And then if he dies there, nobody enters, so they pull him out. But when Jesus died for us, the veil was torn. And you can, so that's why people say, oh, how can we pray? How can we pray? You can walk into the holiest of, go and see him. Like we were told yesterday, you don't have to go through any pastor. You don't have to go into any bishop. You don't have to go through anybody. You can walk straight to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The pastor, mentor, my GO, my pastor thing, is a great, my papa. You have a, if my brother becomes a pastor now, they'll be calling, I'll be calling you papa. I say, my papa. Is that not great deception?
Yeah.
You come, when I come, you will just pat me like this. Pat me, pat me. Pat me. Pat me. I have children who are married, who have children. But you are my papa. You understand? So they will have the boldness to pat old people, papa, and say, bring your money. Somebody wanted some other person to buy his television at half the price or one third the price, one good television, so that he can sow in the life. You know what I mean, sowing? Invest in the life of his papa, one young man, so that God can bless him. Lie of the devil.
Amen.
But many Christians are believing. Hallelujah. But Jesus paid the price for us.
Amen.
Every one of us will have access. You have access. As much access as I have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the more I go in and say, God, I spend time with God, the more I come out, it will look as if, yes, I know a little bit more about him than you. Because you're not taking your privilege. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Stephen will say, we people who minister to ourselves, you come to a point when you minister yourself out of work.
Amen.
Because the church has grown to be able to minister to itself. And that's the purpose. Hallelujah. That mentality of sitting down, oh, let somebody come and minister to me. No, brethren, we have to cast it off. The ministry, the word you're receiving is supposed to grow you up so that you also will grow up and become a minister. Well, you may not be a minister of staying and sharing the word, but in your ministry you can stand. You know, there are different types of ministry. There are the uncomely parts. You know, the body is like a body. There are those ones that say uncomely parts. You don't see them. Do you see my heart? But if my heart packs up now, the body is gone. Hallelujah. Just like the same body of Christ. The body of Christ has the heart. Alright? He has the lungs. He has different parts. You don't see. Yeah, but he has the hand. He has the mouth that is always speaking now. My mouth is speaking now. So the mouth is, you understand what I mean? The mouth is the one that is seeing. Praise the name. But there are other comely parts that are important. Hallelujah. But everyone complements. There's no one part that pushes down the other part. But all the parts are controlled by the head. And that's why there's a coordination. Every part respects the other. Praise the name of the Lord. So your being born again, brethren, is not a little thing. And that the blood is still there. John says, if anyone says he has no sin, he deceives himself. And the truth is not in us. But if we do what? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from every unrighteousness. Then one that talks about the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. So brethren, the blood is important. That is what gives you a new life. That is the blood that atones for you. And the blood starts you as a new child into the kingdom. You are born again. You become a new, fresh child. And you have to grow. That is why God comes and he uses the... Well, I don't know what I should say. He uses the ministries, so to say, to teach us so that we can grow. But if you're sitting down and you're receiving the ministry, receiving, and you're not growing, you're always waiting for them to teach you and all that, there's a problem. A child that's not growing at the pace supposed to grow, then there's a challenge, there's a problem. Praise the name of the Lord. So we have to grow. Hallelujah. We have to grow. And God is there for us. We have access. Every one of us, you have access. So, brethren, the blood is the first seal that God puts on you. You have it. In fact, I want us to read some scripture, because this scripture talking about where the seal is placed, it's always the forehead, the forehead, the forehead. Whether it is the blood, it's on the forehead. It's on the forehead, whatever. And then the right arm. Alright? And just as God is putting his mark and seals upon his people, the devil also is putting his own mark and seal. The Antichrist is putting his own mark and seal upon the people. In fact, there will come to a time when if you don't have the mark, you will not buy, you will not sell. Well, these are scriptural words. But we are going to try to look at it practically. What does it mean? Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, let us just read some scriptures quickly, and then those scriptures will form the basis of what I've been talking about. We will be talking about, or maybe somebody can help me read. If you're able to see it first, let's look at Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, read from verse 2 to 14. Read from 2. Seven. Okay, I've seen it. Let me read. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth. To hurt the earth. You know, this angel, well, we don't have time, but if you have this, and take that whole chapter and read it, you'll be able to understand the context. But now there's an angel that has been released, you know, to go and hurt the earth. To hurt the earth, that is to harm the earth. You know, what is the earth? Carnality, dust, alright? And the sea and the world. Then the angel said in verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the what? Trees, till we have done what? Sealed the servants of our God in where? In their forehead. Remember, God was speaking to us, I think yesterday, about the mind. The forehead is the mind. He said, don't touch anybody, don't hurt anybody yet, don't hurt anybody until we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. Brethren, as we give ourselves to God and to serve Him, to submit to Him, you know that to anyone, any person, any spirit you submit to that spirit you become what? A servant. So it's not, but as you submit, become servant, and God is sealed, God seals. But if I refuse to be God's servant and I'm rebellious, definitely that seal of God will not come upon me. Praise the name of the Lord. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000. Well, that's left to the brethren. So a number of people were sealed, you know, at that verse 9. After this, behold, lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So if the ceiling is not only here. Ceiling is not only in Uganda. It's not only in Nigeria. It's not only in Congo Kinshasa or Kampala. God is sealing people all over the world. You say this, so people, no ceiling. God is sealing His people, sealing them, setting them apart, the elect. Because of them, they cannot be deceived. Hallelujah. That means, brethren, if we don't have the seal of God, that means that we can easily be deceived by the philosophy of men. There are people who come, they speak good grammar, you know, all that. I don't know, let me, on a lighter note, have you seen the ministers? Ministers of those countries. Listen, how do they look? Posh people. You see them with their jackets and all that. And they have a way of, they are moving. And
they have bodyguards.
They have bodyguards. And they ride big cars. You understand? Because if they are asking you to give them your money, they have to show for it, is it not? Show that they are rich, is it not? It's not like the native doctor that will come, one man say, native doctor, say, I will make you rich. But if you look at him, say, his picture, you find that he's poor. So that one is different from the man of God. You know what I mean? You see him, the handsome young men and women. No, women have joined these days now. They're powerful deliverance ministry women. But that is clear that it's great deception, is it not? And if you don't have the mark, you will not be able to. Hallelujah. So we'll be talking about the scene. Verse 14, it says, and I saw unto him. Okay, sorry. Let's look at another passage. Let's look at Revelation chapter 9. Please, if somebody sees it, can you read from verse 1 to 4 for us? 1 to 4. Revelation chapter 9. Is that 9?
Yes.
Okay. Can you read verse 4?
Verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not touch the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have lost the seal of God on their
hands. Amen.
Amen.
Who are those to be hurt? Only those who do not have the seal on their forehead. So, brethren, this one shows that our minds, when God starts talking about your mind, your soul, your emotion, and all, it's very, very important. Let's take it seriously. Can somebody read again verse 13, chapter 13, verse 16? I'm just picking the verses there. Revelation 13, 16. Alright, an inscription, a seal, a mark on their foreheads, on their hands, on their foreheads. That's the devil. Alright, so as God is trying to mark, the devil is also marking. So, you know, there's a word that, you know, when the devil marks you, you're taking the mark of the beast, is it not? Taking the mark of the beast, becoming like the superhuman. Alright, and you know the destination of that kind of person. Hallelujah. Then, can somebody read Ezekiel for us? Ezekiel 9, I think. Okay, just read verse 4. Amen. Set a mark upon where? The forehead. Where is the forehead? It's here. And what is inside the forehead? The forehead is what? Your mind. And then we've been taught the soul is made up of what? The mind, the emotion, the desire, and the will. And we're saying that we have been taught that the main doorway, the main entrance into the soul is where? The mind. Amen. So when God puts a seal, he puts the, you know, a seal is like a mark of security. Alright? When they put that mark, you cannot. Those days, when they used to sell registered letter, they used to put a seal on it. Even like drugs, they say, if the seal is broken, please don't take it. It's to maintain the quality. the authenticity of that particular thing, to preserve it, to keep it in its form. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So brethren, if your mind is not sealed, like we are talking about engraving upon the mind, if your mind is not sealed, forget it. Everything will find, every beast, everything will find. How does sin come? Sin does not jump like that. Oh, somebody falls. Falling to sin or fornication. It doesn't jump. Oh, immediately you just fall to sin. It gets into your mind and you conceive it. Alright? You think about it, you conceive it. When it has been conceived in your mind, you meditate it. That's why the Bible says we should meditate on the word. But you're meditating on evil. Before somebody plans to go and steal and all that, it has entered the mind and has conceived it and he has planned it. Alright? Then when it's fully blown, when the plan is concluded and everything is set in place, it manifests sin. And when sin comes out and all that, it results into what? Death. The soul that sinneth. Not the body that sins, so the soul that sinneth shall die. How does sin come? Sin does not just jump in. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't just stay like that and say, oh, I just fell to sin. You have thought about it. It has entered your mind. You have thought about it. The devil has come in and entered, and you have reasoned with him. He said, it's good. No, this thing is fine. It's good. And all that. When it is concluded, you now sin. And then when you sin, well, thank God for the Spirit of God. You can now repent. But brethren, God needs to seal our mind. How does he seal your mind? You need to give ourselves, our mind, to the word. To the meditating on the word, turning the word around. You know, so set your minds on things above. Hallelujah. You should desire the things that are above. You should say, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there's anything that is of a good report, anything that you will do, or people will say, oh, they're wonderful and all that, think of those things. Hallelujah. What do I think of? What do I think of? What do you think of? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, the mark is upon our forehead. And the blood, brethren, the blood is important. The entrance into your temple, into your house, is the mind. And you must keep the blood upon the lintel and upon the doorposts of your house. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:14 talks about that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The church is redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Ephesians says, in whom we have redemption, through his blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:9-12 says that we obtain eternal redemption by his blood. You have obtained eternal redemption. You are redeemed eternally by his blood. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So brethren, the safest place to be is to be under the blood. To stay under the blood, that is the safest place to be. The question is now, how do I stay under the blood? And that's the question. Practically, how do we stay under the blood? How do we stay under the blood? The Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what happens? We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ does what? Cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light, what does it mean? If we are walking in the light, what does it mean to walk in the light? You walk in righteousness. You think of those things that are lovely, those things are good. Your enemy hurts you, you don't curse him. You pray for him and ask God to help me to love him. You understand? You see somebody, you're compassionate, do good to people. That's practically. God help me to be able to live my life to be a pleasure to you. You don't sit in the seat of discomfort. You don't stand in the way of sinners. You don't have any yoke with unbeliever, or any unbelieving thing, any unbeliever. He said, what relationship does light have with darkness? You don't have anything to do with darkness, young people. Your friends who are not unbelievers call you, let us go and do this. You don't have anything to do with them. You say, no, I don't participate in this.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As you're walking in the light, you keep on walking in the light, they may mock you. Oh, look at this one. Oh, this one. You decide, you say, I'm going to walk in the light. Praise the name of the Lord. It says the blood of Jesus. You are staying under the blood, and the blood is availing for you, and the blood is cleansing you. Praise the name of the Lord. And when we come to fellowship like this, we are fellowshipping with one another. Hallelujah. And the blood is at work. There's no brother, no sister. He says there are those who forsake the assembling of themselves together. You know that? There are those that coming to fellowship means, I'm tired. I just came back from school. I'm so tired now. This fellowship stuff, I don't think I can go, sir. Okay, this today the work has been very, very hard. I don't think I'll go tomorrow. Then when you get tomorrow, they will tell you, say, oh, your friend is coming to visit you. They say, okay, next Sunday I'll go. You forsake the assembly of God, assembly of God with God's people who are seeking God. You're keeping yourself away from staying under the blood. And anything that happens to you. There are somebody who, I don't know who, whether it's Brachidio or somebody who is their friend. Do you know the unbelievers? The devil is looking for energy. Alright? Just like you eat the food, you get energy. The devil is looking for energy. And he knows that God's people have energy. You understand? So he's looking for God's people. He wants to get energy from you. When he gets you angry and you curse or you murmur, he draws energy as much as he can. But when you are in the light and worshiping God, he can't get energy. So when he goes around among God's people, he can't find any energy. He just goes around. He just sees one unbeliever. He just use that one. He just
A snack.
You know, that one is just free. That one is dead carcass. He just eat a little, get a little strength so that he can now go for the good food. If you keep away from God's people, you become a prey to the devil. Very, very easy. So it's not that this one says you cannot even chase him. He will just come. He just kicks you like this. You just fall. He just eats. So this one is not tasty, sir. He just eats away. And he goes for the good food. But when you are in the midst of God's people, hallelujah, the blood is there to be a covering for you. The angel of death cannot come in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm just prompted to say this. I'm not saying this because it's all the time. But at times, some sicknesses can be caused by sin. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can be sick, and that sickness is as a result of sin. You know that Jesus healed a lot of people. After healing them, he said, go and sin no more. And the scripture says that if anyone is sin among you, call the elders, let them lay hands on the person, pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And if the sick has committed any, that sin will be forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
That means that there are some sicknesses that are caused as a result of sin. Hallelujah. But if you're always in fellowship, walking in the light and fellowship with God's people, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from every unrighteousness, and sin will not find a place in your life. And if your body is oppressed, then you know that it's of the devil. Just like in the case of Job. Hallelujah. And then you come against, and in that case, God will always intervene, because there is a seal upon that life. God will always intervene and give a limit. Go this far, but don't go this far. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So your life is in God's hand. God decides what happened to you if you're walking right. If you're walking in the light. If you're staying under the blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you find that when the blood was upon the lintel in Egypt, there were those people, the people who are not Israelites, who found themselves in the house of that had the blood upon the lintel, were they destroyed? They were not destroyed. Hallelujah. Brethren, the blood is a seal upon your forehead, your lintel. And we must do everything that is possible to stay under the blood. And one of the ways we can do that is to walk in the light. Make sure you don't have anything, any involvement with anything that is darkness. Alright? Your friends are not, you don't sit in the seat of those who scorn God's people. You don't stand in the way of sinners. Psalm 1. Can somebody read that psalm for us?
Let the man who walks and makes much in the counsel of the ungodly follow in their advice, their plans and purposes. No stand submissive and inactive in the past, where sinners walk, not his stand to relax and rest where the sponsor and the Lord has gathered.
Thank you very much. That translation is wonderful. Well, it makes it simple for us. You know, but let's look at the King James Version. Does anybody have the King James Version? Yeah? Yes. Of sinners, yes. Mm-hmm. But his delight. Meditate. Okay. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, brethren, let us not sit in the seat of scornful. Because if we do that, we are staying away from under the blood. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, the other way we can stay under the blood, for example, when Adam sinned, what did God do? What did God do? They saw themselves as naked, is it not? What did God do? He covered them. Covered them with what? Huh? With what? Is it with leaves? He covered them with a skin. He covered them with a skin. God slaughtered an animal and spilled blood and covered them up. So, you know the scripture that says that the lamb was slain before the foundation of the earth, is it not? Anybody who knows that scripture? The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the earth. So, what mistake did Adam them make? What would they have done that would have saved the situation? Just to go to God and say, God, I have sinned. Please, forgive me. To repent. The blood was already slain because God knew. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So the Bible talks about circumcision. I'm sure we all know what circumcision is. But this is physical circumcision, but the Bible talking about the circumcision of our hearts. I want us to read the scripture to be able to explain this. Maybe somebody can you read Romans 3, 25 and 26.
Romans 2,
25. Okay. Yeah.
For circumcision very profitable if you keep the law, but if the law be a broker of the law, the circumcision is made uncircumcision.
Okay, 26.
Therefore, if the circumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall his circumcision be counted
for
circumcision?
Okay, just go over to
27.
Go to 28.
For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh.
Okay, 29.
But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. But whose price is not
Amen. Amen.
So this scripture is saying us, the person, the true Jew, is the person whose circumcision is in the heart. Alright? So, not the person whose circumcision is on the outward. Not the person who, on the outward, he's saying, I'm a Christian, he sings the song and all that. Alright? But it is the person that inside, his Christianity is inside. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the person who is truly a Jew. The circumcision is in the soul. That is truly the person who is a Jew. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
What is circumcision? Circumcision is removing the part of the flesh. Carnality. Alright? When we cut off that carnality, that flesh side, you know, there's something I call about that is called selfishness. Eh? Selfishness. Mm-hmm. Then, what again goes with self? Self what? Who are the English people here? Eh?
Self-exaltation.
Self-exaltation. Uh-huh. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. You know, the self now has to do with this, my pleasure. Flesh righteousness. This flesh exaltation. Flesh selling fish. Uh-huh. Self what again? Self-will. Self-esteem. This self here. Yourself, this your flesh. Has so many things that are attached to it. Selfish. And when you say self-denial, that is it. That is gospel of the cross. Self-denial. Say, take up your cross and follow me. What Jesus meant in that? You say, Paul says, I die daily. But you see him, he's living and ministering. But he say, I die daily. What is dying daily? It is the self. It is the self that is dying. So, how can you stay under the blood? The way you can stay under the blood is to make sure that you cut off your flesh. That's the way to stay. That means you deny yourself. That is the gospel of the cross. This gospel of the cross is foolishness to them who perish. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. So, for you to stay under the blood, you must constantly deny the self. Say you want it, you say you can't have it. That is the purpose of fasting. It's painful. Blood will flow. Blood will come out. My sister, if I come now, as I'm looking at you now, I just like you. Bye, bye, bye. You say, Uncle, what did I do to you now? What did I do to you? You carry your bag and you go. Is it not? And you say, that uncle is a wicked man. You say, he's a wicked man. Uncle, what did I do? That is, if you're a camp person, no? If you're not a camp person, you carry your bag now and hit me. You carry this here and kick me. You understand? And then your brothers and your sisters there will say, this wicked uncle from Nigeria, you carry the seat. By the time you know, he beat me up now and carry me and go and give to the police lady is here. She will arrest me now and put me inside the van and take me straight to prison. And say, the best thing they can do for me now is to deport me. That is, if they forgive me, sir. They will give me there for me about 3 months. You see, but it's painful. Alright? The gospel of the cross, which saves us. Jesus said that we should pray for our enemies. When I slap you there, you say, Uncle, what did I do now? And God expects you to turn your... I say, you girl, use it. You just say, God bless you. It's painful. Tears will be coming out of your eyes. It's painful. You are bleeding. You understand? That is how you have to stay under the cross. When the gospel of the cross is not just gospel of sitting down, lying on the bed. The gospel that is saving us, that is gospel of the cross. But we say, oh, this born again, oh, it's for good things. God give me this, God give me this, God give me that, give me that. You are keeping away from the cross. The devil will give you that thing. When you say, God give me, devil will give you 3 times. When you say, God give me, devil will pack you, load you with that. And then you'll be feeling good. that is God that's giving you. Meanwhile, he don't know he's the one. But the day he will manifest, say, I'm the one who has given you all these things. But as you follow him, you know where you're ending to. You end up into disaster, trouble. So the safest place to be is in God. Praise the name of the Lord. So one of the ways you can stay under the blood is by circumcising the heart of your flesh. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Brethren, I'm not saying it is not difficult. It's difficult for me. It's difficult for every one of us. But that is the way to stay under the cross and the way of life. Because we're talking to us about Jesus yesterday. How Jesus went through, what he went through. For me to be a son, that is the way I have to go. Most of the temptations we are going through, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life, we are the temptation that Jesus Christ went through. Is it different?
No.
Turn this stone into bread. You know, some of us, when we are hungry, when we see food, oh, pants on it, everything will go. The next thing you say, oh, look at this kingdom, I'll give you this thing. Just jump down, worship me. Lust of the eyes, he sees the beautiful this thing. Then pride of life. You understand? So it's not different. So walk in the light. Have that attitude of sacrifice. That is the way to life. And just a word of encouragement. God didn't leave Jesus when he was carrying the cross. He didn't just abandon him and he was carrying the cross. Yes, it was an agreement they made. He said, Father, if it were possible. God didn't answer. Now at times we go through certain situations in our lives. God will not answer us. You pray, God take away this. God will not say anything to you. The devil will say, oh, look at this God. Now he's answering you and all that. God knows why. It's for a purpose. Alright? But when Jesus was carrying the cross, when he couldn't carry the cross, did he send him help?
Yes, sir.
Sent him help. So, he says that God does not tempt any man. And he does not allow any temptation to come to you which you cannot bear. God will not allow any temptation come your way which you will not be able to bear. But even when he doesn't allow it, he still put another safety valve. He says, even in that temptation, he will provide what? A door of escape. So God has plugged in. And Joseph knew that. Joseph knew that. When I was saying that the devil, when he sees you are righteous, he will come against you. He knows he can't kill you, but he will come against you to defile you, to make you just what he did to Adam, he wants to do it to you. So that you will come against God. That's why we need to be watched, especially in the time we're in. He will come against you. In school, he may even want you to cheat like others, copy during exams. In business, he wants to give bribe to get business. All around us, he will want to implicate you. He wants to do something that is corrupt. Alright? But Joseph, what did Joseph do? Nothing. He was serving his master very well. He knew God. Alright? He didn't do anything. The master had to committed everything. And the devil said, this man, you cannot get him. Just like, well, I'm just trying to remind you. Just like, was it Daniel then? What fault did they find in them? Was that they were praying to their God. They didn't do anything. So the woman came to Joseph. Joseph said, sir, I perish. What is that? Whatever thing. He just pulled his dress and left his dress. He didn't even care about it. He ran for his life. Alright? That landed him into what? Prison. In prison, did he murmur?
No.
Did he complain?
No.
He didn't say, oh, that's my wicked master. God doesn't even like murmuring. You know, all the people who came out from this, those he was not pleased with them. Because they murmured. God will give them food, they will murmur. God brought them out, they will murmur. God decided to take them the long way. Why? Because he knows that if they go and face war with the Philistines, they will talk. Even the long way, God provided everything. They still wanted to go back. No wonder God said they were stiff necked. You remember they were telling us about the breastplate. They're stiff necked people. You know, there are people who have stiff necks. I just pray that God amongst us, we don't have people. You know, there are people you cannot placate, you cannot pacify. When you offend them, you can't say, hey, brother, go away, which can you say, please come, let's talk. I don't want to talk with you. Oh, let us talk, let us settle this matter. Okay. That brother who was there when this thing happened, that has gone to America, go and bring him to come. Those are people who have, you know, they have the breastplate of there is nothing you say, I kneel down. You say, what are you kneeling down for? You are trying to do something. You bring a gift and give to me. Say, a gift, make it way for you. You give them a gift. They carry your gift and throw away. That's a thief next people. Let God help us not to be that kind of people. Let us be a people that have a broken heart. Brethren, I'm telling us the way to be under the cross. Under the cross, not under it, under the blood. There's a place of safety. But we have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Like I said, some circumstances, that's why at times you fast to put down the flesh. No, there are some of us who may have one, well, we call it besetting sin. May not be your fault. Maybe something you inherited through your grandparents, grandfather, you know, and all that, all through the years. And it comes and you see, you fast, you pray, and it's all going and all that. You know, it's because it's lodged, the home of it is here, flesh. Because it cannot lodge in your spirit. Because God is there in your spirit. It cannot lodge there. So it's here. So what do you do? You circumcise the flesh. How? By fasting. You cut it off. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. But that's the way to life. So that's one of the other ways that we can find ourselves and stay under the blood. Amen. So circumcision is very, very important. Hallelujah. Amen. So to accept practically, we should not find ourselves among those who as we see the day approaching, we don't come to fellowship. Come to fellowship and walk in the light with God's people. Jesus is here. And as we come, the blood. And even as we come, as the word is going on, God is going to speak to you. You know, at times we sin unconsciously. You don't know that you've hurt somebody. But the Spirit of God will speak to you and we respond. When we respond, the blood cleanses. Praise the name of the Lord. And the other way is for us to have that attitude of a sacrificial life. Alright? Isaac took the cross, his cross, the wood. The father had the fire and there was no physical lamb for the slaughter. He never knew that it was a lamb. But I don't think that boy didn't know. You know, young people these days, you are very, very smart. Are you not? Are you not smart? People are very, very smart. You are very, very smart. Thanks. You can play your parents like this. Before they look like this, they are seen this way. That young man, I knew. That's why I asked the father. I said, here is the wood. Here is the fire. Where is the lamb? Hallelujah. But the father showed him too that he himself, he's a prophet of God. He knows.
Amen.
He said, God will provide the lamb.
Amen.
And the young man couldn't ask any other question. But because he was obedient, he took his cross. Followed. And when they got there, the man prepared the wood. I have a feeling, the man, an old man, can he carry that young grown boy and put on this thing? He said, my son, climb up. You are the lamb. And the young man put one leg here. He helped him carry his the other leg. Put it on the wood. I'm sure the boy was just wondering. But I'm sure he knew that the father was a man of God. See, be it known unto you, O king, just like those three people did, that even if this God does not deliver us, we will not bow to your God. He just looked up and said, well, if God decides that my father, I know he has been with the father all through the years, consistently. Hallelujah. And I have a feeling he knew
that he was a promised child. He was a gift. A gift to the mother, to the parents at a very old age. And if my father decides to kill me now, there's no problem. He was a godly child. He was a godly child like Jesus. You know, Abraham was like God. And Isaac was like Jesus. So immediately he lifted up his hand. God said, hold on. Don't you ever do it. And I have a feeling now that something held his hand. Because he couldn't have raised his hand and wanted to bring. And then you just listen. Something held him. Because he has proposed. Isaac was dead as far as, you know, he was concerned. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that is the attitude that God wants us to live as his children. One for another. That is the way of life. That is the way to eternal life. It's a little bit, it's hard. But God is bringing this word because he knows that you brethren, that you have a heart for God. Alright? You have a heart for God. So, I'm not saying you can't go and kill yourself. You can't give yourself to anybody to bring knife to kill you, no. But what we are saying is that this flesh has to die. You understand? And that is the, do you know, the flesh is the Philistines. You know the Philistines?
Yeah.
They troubled Israel. In fact, they were the enemies of Israel. They troubled Israel right from the beginning. Israel will always fight them. When they think they are beating them, they will come up again. That is this flesh. And you know, even the man of God, what's his name? This man who married Delilah.
Samson.
They come against the man of God. You dig a well. You're digging a well. You're trying to be godly. You're just searching the scripture. They will come and bring dust and pour into it, the mud, and fill it up. This flesh, that is the Philistine. This flesh, it's one of the troubles, the enemies of Christianity. The enemies of God's people is your flesh. It's my flesh. That's my enemy. That is what is holding us back. That is what is making us not to progress. That is what is holding us back from being what God wants us to be, from coming forth in his likeness. Praise the name of the Lord. And that is why God is bringing his word. And he's bringing his word, he's judging it. But then, we have a choice to make. There's a price to pay. There's a price you have to pay to be a disciple of God. To enjoy all the benefits. You know, God has given us, there's so many blessings that we are still not having, that is in the heavenly places. We don't see it. We have not seen it. We have not even touched it. But the flesh will always make sure that we don't get into it. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So, brethren, let us live a life of sacrifice. Let us live a life of denial. Let us live the life of the cross that Jesus lived. Every day, you get up, you're going to walk. After praying to God, you say, this flesh, today, I'm going out. I am not going to stand with you. I'm not going to give you whatever thing you want. I'm not going to be your friend. So I'm not going to support you. So don't you ever play any trick on me. Don't manifest. Because I'm not going to support you. Say, you are, he says, who is an enmity with God? The person who works in the carnality now is an enmity with God. I'm not going to be God's enemy. I'm your enemy. So when you drive, somebody comes behind you and hits your car. You just look at him calmly. Say, God bless you. I'm not going to. The person comes out and shouts at you and yells. He said, you bashed me. And why are you yelling at me? So okay, sorry. You drive your car and go. It will be painful to you. You will be painful that somebody has damaged your car and is shouting at you and doing evil to you. I mean, it doesn't make sense. The world, people in the world will say, hey, this man or this woman is a foolish woman. Mumu? Amen. Hallelujah. It's a difficult word, isn't it? Difficult. It's difficult. But brethren, that's the word of the Lord. And I'm sure God will give grace for it. So,
That is the seal you have in your mind. And when you put that, God put that seal on your mind, and you have that mindset, you're going to be the enemy. You say, Jesus, he says, they despised him, they rejected him. He was a man of sorrow. They cursed him. He never mentioned any. He never said anything. He never retaliated. When was it? Who was it to say? Don't you know that I can say? I can. Are you not talking to me? He just kept quiet. He doesn't, because he was focused. He knew. Praise the name. So we need this seal of the blood. We need to stay under the blood. Hallelujah. We need to be children of the house, not like Esau. You know, there are Christians who they come in and they are enjoying, they want the good things of the house. Oh, please, I need prayer. You know, this one is, but the minute they get the prayer, they are off. You understand? There are people who want goodies of the house, like Esau. You understand? What am I doing? I'm hungry, and you're talking about bath rites. What is bath rites? Bath rites. Will we eat bath rites? Where is the bath rites? Show me the bath rites. Give me food, Joe. He ate the food, and dropped the plate, cleaned his mouth, and walked out. Brethren, there is a day of reckoning. There is a day. That day came, when he was supposed to get the blessing. But he didn't get it. Even though he cried and said he didn't get it. Because he made the right choice. He made the wrong choice. And Jacob made the right choice. May God help us to always make the right choice. May God help us to be God's people. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me just touch the second seal. There are about three or four different seals. But let me touch the second seal because of time. The second seal is the seal of the Holy Spirit. Now at times, yes, we say, oh, the man on the cross, after all, he entered the kingdom of God. Yes, but his own. He got saved on the cross and he died immediately. Are you getting the point? He was saved on the cross. Jesus ministered to him. He was saved on the cross and he says, God, remember me. And he died and he was taken. Alright? But in our own case, you are saved, but you have to be in this world to overcome. So you cannot say you don't need help. We need the seal of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. The Bible says it is the down payment of the purchased possession of God. It's a deposit. He said, if anybody has not his spirit, it's none of his. Hallelujah. When we are born again, yes, the life of God comes into you. But brethren, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John talked about it. He said, there's somebody who's coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with what? With fire. It is the Spirit of God that tells us about the truth of God. In fact, it is the Spirit of God that baptizes you into Christ, like we are told yesterday. You need him, we need his help. We need his unction. Hallelujah. He is the one who comes to you and he will reveal Christ to you. If we have the Holy Spirit, brethren, we will get to know God more, much more better than we do. If we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we will function in the power and in the grace of God. The grace of God, because His Spirit dwells in us. The Spirit dwells in Jesus mightily. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's a gift. Somebody give you a gift, won't you take? It's a gift. You know, the enemy brings a lot of fears in our hearts. It brings a lot of fears in our heart. Oh, you don't want any spirit to take over you. But at times, we don't want any spirit to take over us. But we find that in most cases in our lives, there are spirits that are controlling our lives. When the Holy Spirit comes in fully, it's going to drive away every other spirit that is in our life. You know, we are drunk. It says, be not drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. We are drunk with a lot of things. When Brother Chuk will start teaching, he will talk about the emotion. Now, at times we are emotional. There are a lot of things that make us happy. You understand? Things that are not supposed to make us happy, make us happy. There are a lot of things that give us joy that aren't supposed to give us joy. Like somebody, you have plenty money. Oh, you're happy. You have plenty money. You understand? There are people when they eat good food. Oh, they are happy. What he said, the lust of the flesh, it has to touch our emotion. Alright? So, we should not be drunk with wine. Anything that controls our emotion, anything that obsesses us, takes over our emotion, and we are not able to control ourselves. You know, lust. That's what lust. When the Bible says lust of the flesh, something, it comes upon us, a man, and the person is not able to control himself. When you talk of fornication and adultery, it's a spirit that comes. But if the spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, dwells in you, all right. You know, you say this, it's a spirit that does not strive. It's such a gentle spirit that when you reject him and reject him, he just keeps quiet. So you need this seal, because that is a down payment. For example, I don't know whether they do it here in supermarkets. I go to the shop, the supermarket, and I see a bed, a very fine bed which I like, and it's only one piece that is remaining in that store. I can go to the store manager, please, I want to buy this bed. I don't have the complete money. Can I make a deposit? I don't know. Do they have it here?
It depends.
Okay, depends on the store. But I know that most stores do it, even abroad and all that. You say, okay, 100, I think shillings. Okay, 1,000 shillings or 100 shillings. So how much do you have? I have a deposit of 500 shillings. You deposit the money. They give you a voucher. Pay this. Balance is this. The table is still there. You come on it. You see, sold. Have you not seen anything like that?
Yeah.
It's sold. You can stay there based on the agreement, 3 months, 2 months. It will be there, a display. Nobody will buy it. If the shop people are worth their salt, because there has been a place that deposited the money, by the time I came, they have sold it. Maybe somebody paid higher. You know, so that is what happens when you have the Holy Spirit. There's a down payment. God has made a down payment for those of you who are baptized in the Holy Ghost, that this one is my property. I purchased it. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you don't have the Spirit in you, you're not in office. Anybody can come and say, can I buy? How much do you want? Say, okay, it's 1,000 shillings. Can I give you 2,005 shillings? Oh, say, bring. They will carry you. So you need the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. If there's no anybody who is not baptized, you are born again, you have the blood, and you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with a manifestation of speaking in tongues,
amen,
then you need him. It's a gift. What you only need is to prepare your heart. Alright? We're talking about holiness unto the Lord. Talking about the pure in heart shall see God. God wants to see your heart. He wants to see the testing in your heart. He wants to see the desire in your heart. Hallelujah. He wants to put that down payment. He wants the Spirit of God to be in you, to reveal the things of Christ in you, to lead you to be able to begin to appreciate the body of Christ, to be able to appreciate the reality of this church, which you have, those of us who are physical, and then you have those which we don't see. The reality. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings you into that. To begin to give you gifts. To be able to stand in your place, begin to give you gifts and talents. And you begin, in fact, you know, there was one experience I had. Okay, not me, who had, one of my sisters, you know, had an accident. You know, they are Christians. And then they were ministering to him. He had an accident and was hospitalized. Serious one. So we found out that there was this lady who will always come make food and bring to her. Before she wakes up, there is a cooler there with food. Well prepared, well made, well distinct. I think eventually she got to know that it was that lady from their church. And as she would just get up and be eating this food, another woman will come, sweating, bringing her food. That is, so she said she would taste that food. The food will not be as tasty as the other one, maybe because it was cooked hurriedly. Well, thank God for her, bless God for her.
She wanted to be a blessing too. I mean, it's not bad. Is it bad? It's not bad. But she, that is not her ministry. The person who had the ministry does it with so much grace and does it well. No qualm. That is not no struggle. But the one thing is that every one of us, God has given you gifts. God has given everyone here talents. Some 10 talents, some 5 talents, some 1. God has given you ministries. Like God has given there are people who are teaching, okay, teaches. And when it stands to teach, you cannot compete. You compete with him. It's just like you are going to, who is the fastest man in the world, sir? Okay. It's just like me now going to say, oh, this man is fastest man. From where? He's from, is it Jamaica?
Yes.
Jamaica. So how can Jamaica people believe it? I will go and compete with him. You will fall and die on the way. Because he has been the way he does. When he comes, he just runs around and, you know, he plays around with you, you know. When he wins, he just like nothing. And he's proud about it. You know, when he wins, he just... But that is, when God gives you a gift, and you stand in the gift that the Holy Spirit of God has given you and enabled you and energized you to do, nobody can compete with you. Hallelujah. He says, he led captivity captive, and he did what? He gave gifts to men. Praise the name of the Lord. God has a gift for every one of you, every one of us. As he delivers us from the kingdom of darkness, he gives you gifts. Because there's no part of the body that is dormant. Is there any part of the body that has no function? Show me. Is it the leg? There's no part of the body that doesn't have any function. So if you don't have a function, you have not found your function, ask God for your function. And you need the Holy Spirit to be able to establish you and energize you in that function that God has given to you. And as you wait on the ministry, you wait on that which God has given you, you excel. The man that was given 10 talents, he used his 10 talents well, did he not? And when he came, he said, oh, that faithful servant, give him more cities. The man who was given 1 talent, like at times you feel, oh, God hasn't given me again, went and buried it, did he not? Maybe he didn't, well, I don't know what I can say, he didn't have the Holy Spirit. He didn't have any help, he didn't have any incentive. He didn't have anything that was motivating him. He went and buried it. And what did he call the Lord? He said, you're a hard tax master. I hope we are not among those who call God, you're a hard tax master. Praise the name of the Lord. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need him in your life. He said, I will dwell in them, I will talk in them, I will move in them. Hallelujah. I will reveal things to them. I will give them understanding. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need a function, the function of the Spirit of God in your life. So, why I'm stressing this is that there is a need. Because, Jesus, when he comes, he baptizes you with the Spirit and with fire. You know, at times, you find that the fire burn starts. I mean, the fire is dead in our lives. You know, God talks about the lukewarm church. Say, you're lukewarm. I will spew you out. I will take your candlestick. When God takes a candlestick, that means that and he's talking to a church. And this church should be growing, should be bubbling. Because you have a ministry. Ugandan brethren, you have a ministry in this East Africa region. You have a ministry. And well, I don't know what I'm prophesying.
Amen.
But I think that you should look at it quickly, because I don't know, because the time for all this help and all this ministry you're getting may be getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to desire him. You need to ask God for him. And how? You know, when I talk practically how. When you say the Spirit of God, Spirit of God, how do you? That if you have Him already, if you don't have Him already, we'll find time to pray with you, to encourage your faith, so that you can have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the manifestation of speaking in tongues. If you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's like you have been going down, 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 we are going to pray with you, we'll lay hands on you to encourage your faith, so that you'll be refilled. Now, how do you stay under the Holy Spirit? It's not just to have the Holy Spirit. How do you stay under Him? How do you keep the seal, His seal, upon your life? The scripture says, do not grieve the Spirit. That means that grieving the Spirit, that means that the Spirit is like a person. You can grieve Him. You know, we can grieve ourselves. We can upset ourselves. Say, do not grieve. Do not upset the Holy Spirit. How can you upset somebody? If somebody is thinking of your good, somebody is telling you something that is good, you say no. You rebel. You grieve Him. Let's just read the scripture. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry, I'm about ending this. Ephesians chapter 4. If somebody sees it, read verses 30, 31, and 32. Okay, just a minute. You should not grieve the Holy Spirit of God because you have been sealed with Him unto the day of redemption. Alright? So remember when I came in, I said, God did not bring you out to abandon us in the wilderness, but He brought us out to take us in. Praise the name of the Lord. So don't grieve Him. God has used Him as a seal on you unto to keep you till the day of redemption. Okay? Alright? Sorry?
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, all malice.
Amen. So, how do you not quench Him? Put away wrath. Put away bitterness. Put away being offended against one brother. Put away speaking evil against this, because that grieves Him. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, peace, patience, joy, long suffering, tenderness, and everything. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So when you begin to hate, when you begin to murmur, when you begin to curse, when you begin to despise one another, when you begin to speak evil against one another, when you begin to be angry against one another, you are quenching the Spirit of God, because the Spirit cannot function. I don't know whether it's clear. So that's one of the ways, brethren, we can stay with the Spirit and allow Him function in our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. Allow Him bear fruit in our lives. The other thing that... Have you finished? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Good. Praise God. That's the way we can stay with Him. That's the way we can relate with Him. Hallelujah. By putting away everything that grieves Him. You know, when I begin to hate somebody, oh, he's grieved. You know, like someone says, we should not sit in the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the way of sinners. The Holy Spirit will not sit in this seat with us when we are being scornful to that people. When we are standing in the way of sinners, the Holy Spirit will not stand with us. So we quench Him. We quench His activity in our lives. Alright? He will not operate. He will not function. He quietly. He doesn't strive with you. He doesn't strive with men. He's a gentle spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And a spirit that loves life. He loves life. He doesn't like anything that is dead. The example I will give is about Noah. Remember when Noah, when the water was coming down, he had what? The raven and the dove, isn't it? Which one did he send out first? Was the raven. Alright? The raven went out
And when he went out, the flood hadn't gone. He went, he didn't come back again, you know. He saw dead carcasses, he saw corpses on top of the water, and he just mounted on one of them and went off. Alright? But the dove went out. He went, he didn't see anything. He saw dead corpses, he came back. He went out again, he didn't see any life. He came back. But when he went out the final time, alright? What did he do? He went, he saw life. Trees, that is succulent trees, life, green trees coming out. And he landed. And he never came back. Then Noah opened the basin and he knew that the water had come down. So the Spirit of God in our lives, in your life, hates everything that is sin. You know, the seal, the foundation, this seal is on the foundation of God. It says, let anyone that nameth the name of the Lord do what? Depart from evil. That's the seal. So for me to be able to stay under the Holy Spirit, brethren, I must walk in the light. I must love. I must forgive. I must hate everything evil, everything dark. Hallelujah. I must not strive. If I strive too much, hallelujah, if I hate people and I talk evil about people, I curse people, you know, and beat against people and all that, we quench him. He keeps silent. He keeps silent. And he will not, maybe initially when you start, he will come, be coming and prompting you. You know, repentance is a gift. This thing you've done is bad. You have to leave me. You know, there are those of us when we say, this thing you are doing to you, leave me. Do you know what you have done for me? Don't talk to me. Why are you talking to me? You are joining him. Go and join him. Don't come to me. There are those of us who don't like that. And when the Spirit comes gently, he doesn't strive. He withdraws. And we quench him. Quench him as if like you are quenching the fire. You quench him and you'll be surprised that all the gifts you have in your life are not coming up again. Maybe God needs to give you a gift of vision or gifts of dream. Pia, no dream. Or maybe because the Spirit of God has gone, you start getting dream. The one you'll be getting the dream about, oh, this person, oh, brother, this person wants to kill you. The devil start giving you dream that is always negative. Praise the name of the Lord. There are spirits that are operating that are not the Spirit of God. That are the Antichrist spirit. Prophets, so and so. There are a lot of prophets all over. There are so many prophets. Have you not heard about them? So many prophets. Janet. Is there any Janet? Oh, it's me, Janet. Okay, oh, you are Janet. Okay, who is that person? I'm hearing somebody's with you. That's small boy. John. Oh, it's my son, John. It's your son. Do I know you before? Have I met you before? No. Have I seen you before? I'm hearing something. There's another woman that is with you. Susan. Oh, that's my sister. There are false prophets. What they may be saying may be true, but it is not from the right spirit, brethren. Because they fleece the people. What he wants is your money. And the people who follow miracles are the people who are deceived. There are so many of them. So many of them in Nigeria, so many of them in Zimbabwe, so many of them in South Africa. I know you have them there. Because they are spreading like fire. He said in the last days, there will be spirit of the Antichrist. Performing miracles, deceiving people. But brethren, if you have the seal, if you're under the Holy Spirit, you will not be deceived. If it were possible, even the elect, but it's not possible to deceive the elect. That's why you need him. Don't quench him. He comes softly. You may be doing something, and he comes and says, stop this. Stop it. Like we were told the other day, God does not come in. Who was it? Was it Elijah? There was a mighty wind, rock. God was not there. Yeah, another thunderstorm came. God was not there. But they heard the voice of God in that still small voice. Let us not despise those still small voices that come to us. God can speak to you. The Spirit of God can minister to you. Praise the name of the Lord. That is the beauty of this life we have come to. We have not entered into it, but God is want to bring us into it. Praise the name of the Lord. He wants to bring us into it, and we must be diligent. Then the other word that the scripture use, okay, is it quench? I use, is it grief? That's grief. But the other one, he says, quench not the Spirit of God. You know, he says he will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. So don't quench it. Don't pour water on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Especially in our midst, when we see somebody ministry, you know, a gift that is operating. No, let us not be jealous. You know, because at times we can see a ministry going on, and you want to be like that ministry. You know, Paul said, "Covet the ministry." You can ask God; God will give it to you. But let us not be jealous. You know, you find what happens to God, you know, to us at times, we become jealous because of the flesh. We become jealous of a ministry, and at times we want to quench it. Our reaction can quench the Spirit of God. I pray that God will help us. So these are the much I can take now. So we have the blood, we have the Holy Spirit. Then we have the other one, maybe later. We have the revealed word. And in fact, that is very, very important. The revealed word of God. That's why God is coming to us with revelation. If you go through the scriptures, you say mysteries. Just type mysteries. There are mysteries that have been revealed. There are mysteries that have not been revealed. There are secrets that have been revealed. There are those ones that have not been revealed. And for us who are God's children, God, for us, it's meant that God revealed those secrets to us. Alright? So that is the word that we are taking. God says, I'll put my law in their hands. I'll write them in that. Paul says, you are my epistle. What does it mean? You are my epistle, written epistle. We'll look at it. It's a seal. The ink in Ezekiel. Take the ink on and put the ink, mark the people. It's a mystery. And then if you look at John, where it talks about writing my law in their hearts and all that. That the word will now become flesh in you. The word became flesh, is it not? The word about Jesus, I don't know, have you read about the prophecy about Jesus? How in the Old Testament talked about him and all that and all that. And in the New Testament, you see that same man manifesting, going through what the prophets predicted. Alright? So, you become an epistle. Alright? The word becomes flesh in you. And from there, you find that your character is changed. When you say, the name of the Lord was upon their foreheads. We'll look at that later, if we have the time. The name of God, that's the character of God. You will now be like him. And then it talks about the oil and the wine, which comes out of pressure. Those are the people. The people that mourn in Zion. He said, touch not the oil and the wine. Put the mark upon the people who are mourning and sighing in Zion. You know, who are mourning against the things that are, whose hearts are grieved with the things that are happening. And so on, you know. So these are the things, and when you have the name of God, you have the character of God, then you have the glory of God. When Moses told God, show me your glory, what did God show him? Does anybody know what God showed him? Did God show him? He went, God said, come up. You know, those days God will say, Moses, come up. But all the other people, let them not come close to the mountain. No. And he said, wrong, come. People come, God will take people and invite them and put them at a particular place. But now God has invited all of us. No restriction. Every one of us, we have the opportunity to know his glory. But what did God show him? What did God show Moses? Oh, he saw a cloud. Can somebody tell me? God showed him his name. He showed him his name. He put him in the rock, used his hand to cover him, and his path, he showed him his backside. But God declared to him, when God passed, he declared to him his name. He says, merciful, long suffering, of necessity, not pardon the iniquity. That was what God showed him.
That is the glory of God. Praise the name of the Lord. When we come forth in His image, in His nature, that is His glory. And we'll be moving, and the glory of God will be with us. Don't you want to be a child of God? A child like Jesus? I mean, that's where God is calling us to. Praise the name of the Lord. So the blood and His Spirit for today. You know, you have to stay. If you are baptized, you have to try to stay under the Holy Spirit. If you are born again, then you have to try and stay under the blood. Come to fellowship, live a life of sacrifice and all that, and you will stay, and the enemy will not touch you. You will not be deceived. In fact, the scripture says, who was saying that when you see all these things happening, what should you do? Up, you should look up, is it not? Hello. He said, when we see all these things happening, what should we do? We should look up. Why should we look up? Because our redemption draweth near. And that is for the elect. Praise the name of the Lord. I pray that we'll be encouraged. It's not a hard word. It's just for us to make up our mind. It's just for us to make up. You make up and make a choice. God will send help to us. What we need is to be willing and to ask God for the help. He will send the help to us. Amen.
Amen.
And anything you don't understand, you go to God and say, God, this part I didn't understand it. Please, I want to understand it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So if you're not born again, you can have opportunity to be born again. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can have opportunity to be filled. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Okay.
Okay. The joy you are talking about, the flesh and the devil. Most things going like maybe, okay, I'm sorry to bring in Nigerian movies. Leave their home or they get up from where they are, then they go to the witch doctor by themselves. And at the end of the day, when trouble comes, they will say, oh, it was the devil, oh, it was this. Then they run to the pastor. Even after the physical, like me, I can do something. Then later, I say, it was the devil. But me, I'm trying to, I needed a conclusion from you because I'm trying to debate between the flesh and the devil, which was causing sin. Because, which was causing sin. Because if me, the way I look at the Nigerian, it's someone who goes there by themselves, meaning it's the flesh that takes me. I go and attract the devil inside me. But it's not the devil that comes for me to go there. And it's not the devil that comes to make me or maybe do something bad to her or to her. It is me who attracts the devil. Me with my flesh. It's me that decides to say, let me do this. Now in the process of me doing this, and I think about it in my mind, as you are talking about the mind, what I think about in the mind attracts the devil to come. So most things when we do something, most things we say, oh, it was the devil. Oh yeah, someone say, hey, you believe that was the devil working in that person. But me, most things I debate about it in my heart and I just keep quiet. Then I'm like, no. If you come and tell me it's the devil, in my heart I'll conclude towards you.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'll just answer the one I know. I know the brain will contribute. You know, even as a Christian, why the provision of the blood is still here for us is because you can fall to sin, but you cannot intentionally commit sin. Alright? You can fall to sin, but you cannot intentionally commit sin. The Nigerian movie person who goes to the devil, he consciously took his leg and went to the devil.
He took the decision to go to the devil. You understand? When the devil backfires, he runs to the pastor. Alright? To go and pray for him. You understand? That is the deception I'm talking about. And the pastor too will pray for him. You know? And collect money. Alright? But that does not save him from the hands of the devil. Because the devil will come. But for me as a Christian, you can fall to sin. And when you fall to sin and God tells you, you have done wrong. Alright? You're a child of God that is growing. Like a small child that is growing in the house. Alright? The small child in the house, well, grows to a point and knows what is good and evil. But there are a lot of things the child doesn't know that is good and evil. When the child does it, you correct the child. Say, don't do this thing. This thing is bad. You understand? As the child continues to be rebellious at times, you use a little rod. The rod and the staff. You do a little spanking of the child. When the child wants to do it, he will remember. The flesh will tell him, the other day you received something painful, so don't do it again. So that is the law. You understand? The law will now come in the flesh. But Paul said something in the scripture. Says, the things I want to do, I find myself not being able to do it. But it's only the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. He says, woe is me. He said, who can deliver me from this body of sin? And then he said, thank God in Christ Jesus I have been delivered. So because we have this flesh here, which God is trying to redeem. Remember the message yesterday that God is coming through His Spirit into my spirit. From there He wants to possess my soul, and from there He wants to take over my body. God is a strategist. He is not fighting the battle from my flesh. You understand? It's just like somebody wants to take over maybe Uganda now. An army wants to take over. They go to the border and start fighting. you cannot get to Kampala, which is the capital. You cannot. It will take you a long time. But if you're able to drop troops inside Kampala, from here you can easily go and take over the country. That is God's strategy. So by His Spirit He comes into you, into our spirit, into our soul. From there He starts the battle, and from our soul He will possess the body. So now our body is still, you know, being possessed, being worked on. So because of that, that's why we're saying it's in soul. If I take my leg, if you take your leg, that's why I talked about sinning. Before a born again child of God feel the Holy Spirit, your sin, you have thought about it, it has entered your mind. You have meditated about it. The devil has told you how good it is. Maybe you have dialogue with the devil. Oh, try this thing. It's good. You know, it's wonderful. You will enjoy it and all that. See the other people doing it. You bring friends around you and all that. Then you commit it. When you do that, Spirit of God will come and rebuke you. And the blood is there. You know, but if you consciously do it, that means that it is you that is doing it. So...
Well, there are
no ways
to look at it.
Yeah, come. Yeah. Mm.
No, I didn't
say you did. No, it's okay. No problem. No.
You know, when you talk about the flesh, of course, naturally you are looking at the natural body, but that's not the flesh. You understand? From the point of view of Scripture, the flesh is your soul. Your soul nature. That functions, like he said, make sure you stay under the seal. You understand, which is the blood, spirit, and so on. So when your mind, for instance, or your emotion functions outside that covering, that seal of the Spirit of God, and that he has mentioned, it is what? Flesh. And there is something called leprosy. You know what is leprosy? What is it? Excess flesh. And you know, God, if you know, you give 3 chapters to leprosy in Leviticus, the priest will look and go and wait. Look, he's looking for the flesh, for the thing to fully manifest. Alright? So, flesh. Yes, the body. But see, the body, like I said, is just a vehicle to manifest the real flesh. which is your soul, your mind, your emotion. You understand? So you can decide your emotion will not bring under God. That's, you're walking the flesh. You use your mind like someone like me. You know, me and you are professors now. So we use our mind a lot. So you can calculate it. You know, when I was getting married, I had a calculator. I didn't need God though. I just had my calculator. I pressed 1, 2. I calculated everything I've spent. I didn't need to pray about it. Yes, you can do that. Yeah, you know, this is your salary, calculate it for a minute. You are very careful how you plan all your spending. You have overcome. You don't need God. Yes, you are walking the flesh, it's your mind. You understand? Okay, but there is another way to look at it. You see, inside your soul, when sin came in, that sin is a body. You know what you say? The body of sin. That soul, that darkness that came, has a nature, it's a spirit of its own, dwelling within you, which is different from your soul. You understand? So there are two things now. You have that spirit of darkness that is there. It is a living reality. It says energy that must be serviced. I don't know if you understand. So that one is there. Then your soul nature is there also. So now that darkness is trying to take over your soul. He hasn't done it completely. When he does completely take it, that becomes the 666. That is, the darkness has fully taken over the soul. The devil has not succeeded in that. Obama helped a lot, but he didn't succeed. Alright? Good. Now, secondly, so you have one, your soul, you have the darkness in you. Hey, how about other people who are around you? They also have that same spirit in them. So that is the world. So that's a third element. So you have your soul, you have the darkness. You have other people who also have the same issues like you. That's the world. Okay? Good. Now, there is somebody who is interested in this arrangement. It's the devil. So, there is the darkness. There is the soul. There is the world. Then, the most important person is the devil. Because the devil feeds on the darkness. You understand? So, these four elements are working together. You know, so when you put it together, you see you are fight. You're not just fighting against flesh and blood. You are fighting against your soul that is fallen. You are fighting against the darkness that is in you. You are dealing with the darkness in other people. And then there are spirits that are feeding on the soul. It is in their interest that your soul must continue to harbor that darkness. You understand? So when you put it together, that gives you the proper understanding of what you are doing. And that's why it's important to stay under the blood. Because the more you bring your soul under... fifth element is that when you now become born again, you bring another one inside. What happens? Christ now comes into your heart. So inside your heart, you have Christ, you have darkness, you have your soul, and now Christ is fighting with the darkness to possess your soul. Okay, and that is the context that you have to deal with.
So for my decision making.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yes, yes.
So and the spirit is not overwhelming the soul. And the spirit of God is
the soul, yes.
And the devil
also wants the soul also, yes.
Yeah. So I think from what I gather from my question,
yes,
is that, you know, our soul is lost in after something.
Yes.
Okay, that's why it goes to the native doctor.
Yes.
To achieve it.
Good.
Okay, so the devil, you have just consulted the devil.
Exactly.
Okay, to bring that into pass.
Mm.
Okay, so that's where now the devil just tells the person, but it is the person that takes, must take
responsibility. Yes.
The point of responsibility
is the person.
Is the person. So we have to understand that very clearly.
Yes.
That we are in charge.
Mm.
And we can decide to whom we want to deal with ourselves to slave.
Yes.
And become a slave to that
kind of thing. Yes, 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 yes.
Whether it's the devil that we are yielding to, he carries us to the next doctor's house. Because we are saying, where is the road? You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we go that way. Or we can decide to go to the Holy Spirit. You know, and the Holy Spirit will not show us the way of escape.
Mm.
From that situation.
Mm. So the final decision comes to you. So even with besetting sin, we say the devil, at the end of the day, it is still you that is involved, and that in that case you must go to God. Okay, you are.
The scripture says that when we are tempted, when we are drawn away from our loss, and loss brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. And then there's a scripture, Brother Heber read Revelation 13. There are two beasts in Revelation 13. The first beast from the sea. They said it gets the power from the dragon. Gets the power from the dragon, which is the devil himself. And there's a second beast that is from the earth, that looks like the lamb, that speaks like a dragon. But it also gets power from the second beast, from the first beast. So indirectly, he gets power from Satan himself. Do you understand? So now, we're talking about the flesh. This beast, second beast, that looks like the lamb, that speaks like a dragon, is talking about me and you, you know, maybe the Christian in the carnal realm. You want to submit to the loss of your flesh. Remember, you're drawn away to sin when you follow the lust. Because as long as you're human, to a great extent, there is tendency to lust after something. But the reality of the sin is when you submit to the lust. Do you understand? So the carnal man, the second beast, is the one. It's like, I want this, I want this. You know, you're toying with it. And then invariably, you submit to it. So, in other words, the flesh and the devil go together. As long as you choose to stay in the flesh, you end up obeying the devil. So, even if they say it's the devil that caused you, okay, but you chose to obey the devil. And the Bible says, to whom you yield yourself to obey, his servant you become. So, this beast is perpendicular or vertical. The dragon, the first beast, the second beast. You are the one that we decide. If you submit to the second, you're submitting to the first. And invariably, you're submitting to Satan. So we cannot extricate the flesh from the devil. So when they say, the devil made me do it. Okay, the devil tempted you, but I decided to do it because I chose to follow the flesh. I chose to follow. But I have the ability to say, oh yes, you want me to do this? I cannot do it. Because the Bible says in that scripture, some people will say, who is able to make war with the beast? They wondered. But some people can say, no, we cannot, we will not be of them that say who's able to make war. I can make war with the beast. I refuse. But as long as you refuse to do that, you take the mark. Like he's saying, you're taking the mark by the choices you're making every day. The time will come that you cannot go back anymore. Because as you're taking the mark, you're recreating yourself. A character is being formed. A lifestyle is being changed. The personality is being changed to the point that it is now 666. That person cannot turn anymore. Yes, it is retrievable. Praise God.
Just a minute. What Brahma was sharing about the seal is very important. You know, so the thing is, where is the help? Now, he talked about the blood. What does the blood do? The blood brings life and bring strength. So, yes, you have a fallen nature, your mind is weak and all that, but there is strength for you. So, when you receive the blood, it brings strength to you. You understand? So, that's why you need the blood. And the blood is always coming, it's always watching. You understand? And so, he has given us the practicals. There's no way you come to fellowship, you go back worse. Even when you are sick, bring yourself and lie down here. At the end, some anointing will fall on you, and you will go back. We have a sister who is a specialist. She sleeps under the anointing. But at the end of the day, you better. So don't go and stay at home. Say you are sick. If you are sick, that is the number one reason why you must be in fellowship. Sickness can never be a reason why, oh, brother, I'm sick, I can't. No. If you are sick, you are the first person that should be in fellowship, because at the end of the fellowship, you'll be well. Amen.
Amen.
You understand? So when you have a problem, where do you go to? You come to fellowship. That's where you will get life. There is no way you come and stay. At the end, you will not get strength. You understand? So the blood is given to help you overcome that darkness that is in you. Of your own self, like he said, you don't have. The other thing is the spirit. What does the Bible say? That the spirit giveth life. You understand? The spirit quickeneth. You understand? So, if you want strength, it's the spirit of God that will strengthen you, that will quicken you. And that spirit is in you. So, that's why you must stick with the spirit. How about the word? Say that the words that you hear, what they are? They are spirit and they are life. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So it's a win-win for you. So that's why you need the blood, you need the spirit, and you need the word. Those are the things. They seal you, they give you energy. Even if you are weak, it strengthens you to do the will of God. Nobody can do the will of God of your own. It's difficult, but the flesh is weak. When you say the flesh, it's your emotions, your natural soul nature is weak. You understand? But the spirit giveth life. You know, and those are the practical tips that the message has brought out. Praise God.
Okay, praise God.
No,
I wanted to say it's still I want to read a few scriptures in the light of what we're dealing with. You know, because there's a difference between theology and life. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, she asked a question. I was quite interested because it's something that has occurred so many times when you want to deal with the theology of Paul. Paul says something that it is not I that is walking, it is the sin that is inside me. Now, some people took that scripture and they now said, well, I'm not responsible for what I am doing. It is actually the sin that is inside me, you understand, that is doing it. You know, and it became a doctrine, it became a teaching.
Yes.
Now, so first of all, we need to understand something. The network of evil is they are working together from the fallen nature, okay, to the devil, to the world. You understand? They are all intertwined, but the essence of it is to get you to do what they want you to do. Now, I was just looking at James. James says that blessed is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and has been approved. Robert was talking about sealing. Sealing is actually a mark of what now? Approval. To those who endure what now? Temptation. Temptation is that pressure that you get, whether it's coming from your flesh or from the devil or from the world. It's intended to get you to act, walk in the path of sinners, in the seat of the scornful. Do you understand the point? And in the way of, what is the other group now again? You see, now it just wants to get you to walk in a particular direction that leads to what now? Death. Now, see if you quoted the scripture. He said that lust, every sin has its root in what now? In lust. Now, the enemy provokes the what now? The lust. The day that man sinned, he acquired a nature, but Chidoke talked about that. He acquired a nature, you know, that is now contrary to God. An energy began to work in you. That energy is a power, it is a force. And it's taking you in a direction that leads on to what now? To death and destruction. When the Spirit of God comes into you, it's another energy that is taking you in a different what now? Direction. Now you are at the center. You have a very key matter called choice. If you understand it, you won't be asking whether it's the devil or whether it's the flesh or that. No. All you need to know is that something has been given to you that is the key to all these things. The key of what now? Choice. Yesterday, the message, you know, probably let's just 20% of it was message. But there were certain parts that were glossed over. And if you look at Luke 23, you know, when they were pushing Jesus to be crucified, like I said, you may think it's something that happened many years ago, but it's actually something that's happening where now? In your soul. Pilate was saying, this man, what has he done? And they said, no, we want him, what now? They were insisting, and what now? Insisting. When they insisted and insisted until the point, Pilate said, I can't get anywhere with this people. Okay, what do you want? Let him be crucified. And Paul did what now? He signed. It was a seal also. it was a negative seal, because you had made choice, one choice, two choices, three. Every day you are making what now? A choice. So all the choices that we keep making on a daily basis is going to culminate into a final what now? Choice. And that is a seal. Praise the name of the Lord. So that aspect that I wanted to emphasize was the insistence. All of us want to have our way, but you have a choice. There were two trees. He said, you eat this tree, you live. You eat this tree, you do what? You die. Now never look at it as a single act. It is a way of what now? Of life. It's a conscious choice you make every day. Now I was reading something in Psalm 106. He said that when Israel, God brought them out, the Bible said at a point they forgot his ways and they were now asking for meat in their what now? Lost. Amplified brought it. See, they insisted. They kept insisting. And they kept insisting. We must have flesh. We must have flesh. We must have flesh. We must have. When you say you want to have flesh, what is it? What are you talking about? No, let's put it to ourselves. I want flesh. I want flesh. It simply means that the fleshly part of me, you understand, I want to do what now? I want to feed it. I want to, because there is something inside you. Proverbs say that there are certain things that keep, that are never what now? Satisfied. The horse leech, the grave, the open wound that keeps saying, give me what now? Give me. Give. You know, when you feel hunger inside your natural body, you know what it does? It's a demand, isn't it? Give me food. Give me food. Give me food. That is the same way the flesh makes its own what now? Demand. Give me, satisfy me, satisfy me, satisfy me, satisfy me. Now we are expected through the Spirit. That's why the emphasis on the Holy Spirit is really, do you understand? Very critical. There is no way a man can deal with this flesh without what now? The Spirit. The power of the Spirit. You are weak and powerless as far as this thing is concerned. Have you seen an addict before? Somebody who is addicted to something. Let's start with alcohol. Let's even talk about cigarettes. Let's even talk about women. Do you understand the point? You know, a man is addicted. In his mind, he knows. Some also choose to live in a state of denial. But there are some people who are sincere. They know, look, I'm in a prison. There are some who just accept and tell you we are human beings. You understand? Like fish inside the water. That, you know, you can't do without these things. It's our life. They've submitted. You know that's a submission. You've submitted to it. The same way you can submit to sin. In your mind, you believe that there's no way we must sin because we are human beings. Now, God wants to dethrone that mentality from you. The consciousness He wants to give you is that when you have the Holy Spirit, all things are what now? Possible. A new life is possible. Now, until you believe that, you are not going to go far. Do you understand what I'm saying? Until you believe that, you're not going to go far. What I need to know is that I have the right to say no. It's a mystery. The devil does not want you to do what now? To know. The choice. There's a scripture that said that Mary had chosen the better part and it would not be taken away from her. Let me tell you, God, in the beginning, there was an arrangement between the two parties. I said, this woman must be allowed to do what? To choose. Whatever choice you make will be what now? Respected. Are we together? So, if you go to a native doctor, you made a choice to go there. There may be powers working within you. But if you are a Christian, I will say you are ignorant. Do you understand the point now? The word of God comes to give you the revelation that power and authority has been what now? Yeah. Given to you. That was the... Jesus gave you a mandate in the book of Isaiah. He said that the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing is what now? Upon me. This is why I have what now? Come. Now, if your Christianity has not come to the point of realizing that, the reason for your coming to Christ was so that, first of all, the prisoner, if you are in any form of prison, he has done what now? Open the door. Are you getting my point now? If you are blind, he has opened what now? Your eyes. If you are hurt, bruised by the enemy, he has brought what now? Set you at what? At liberty. Now, this what we are hearing here, the difference is simply that God wants to give you a mentality that you have all things that pertain to life and what? Godliness has been given to you. So if you sit down there and say, oh, that the spirit in your grandfather's village is oppressing you, I will not tell you it's a lie. It is true. But it's oppressing you because you understand, in your mind, still believe and choose. And you have accepted the fact that it can oppress you. But when you realize that Jesus is the head of all spirits, don't you understand the point? I tell brother, I say, look, I don't sleep and spirit come to choke me. It does not happen. It used to happen when I was a younger Christian. But I've come to realize, look, I am the one that terrorizes the devil. Believe me, do you know that the devil fears more than you fear him? But you don't know. Don't you understand? You are carrying something that he is terrified of. But he simply acts on your ignorance. The same thing with sin. You and I need not sin. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You need not sin. You do not need to. I don't need to. So the essence that I sin is because somewhere inside my mind, I have still accepted the fact that, you know, there was a bear that was in a cage in Europe. Okay, that cage was 6 feet by 12 feet. It had been in that cage almost all through its life. It was there. It had been suffering. Visitors would come, use cigarette butts, and you understand, they were tormenting it until the time this animal rights group came and said, let's return this animal back to its natural habitat. So they took this bear into the forest, opened the cage. Do you understand the point? And the bear refused to come out. Then they had to use this electric rod to push it until it came out. Then they removed the cage. Do you know what happened? This bear could only move 6 feet by 12 feet. As far as it had been engraved, imprinted, branded, do you understand, sealed upon his mind that the whole world was only 6 feet by 12 feet. You know, they had to kill it because he couldn't move out to get food. Do you understand? He couldn't move out anything. He could not. The wall was no longer physical. The wall was where now? Inside his mind. So the enemy has put all that. We grew up with this reality, this understanding that we are sinners. Do you understand the point? That we must sin. That we are weak. We must tell lies. We must do this. It's all written inside our mind. But Jesus said, the anointing of God, the spirit of God. Now that spirit is the spirit of sonship. Praise the name of God. Do you understand me, brethren? And so when these things happen, you now must address that situation inside your mind. Who am I? Where am I? Praise the name of the Lord. If I sin today, I choose to. Do you understand the point? I choose to because, one, I am ignorant of what has been made what now available. It is also because of that you go from one pastor to the other pastor seeking help. The Lord wants to bring us, this is the message, into a personal, direct relationship. If you don't have it, go for it. That is the message. Are you getting my point? If I cannot touch the power of God, seek for it, you can touch it. The barrier has been what now? Taken out. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Israel had a problem. The Bible said they were asking, and then know what God did. God gave it to them. But what happened? The consequence was he sent what? Leanness into what now? Their soul. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, so the whole encouragement is very simple. The flesh, the devil, the world have all been what now? Defeated. You now, you see, when I say defeated, it can be. But as far as you are concerned, it is not. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. Jesus died for all. But for the unbeliever, he has not yet died. The unbeliever must come and experience that reality. And come into a first experience. Then he must progress from there. Every day, he must come to know one aspect of this reality to another, to another, to another. Until every aspect of captivity and bondage in my life is what now? Is broken. So until in my mind, this thing changes, nothing changes. So Jesus died, he shed his blood, the spirit is there, everything is there, but you are living under bondage. You are living under oppression, which is from the village can come and disturb you. You fear the same things that unbelievers do what now? Fear. Do you understand the point? You are there, but you are not there. Praise the name of the Lord. So I want you to know, any day temptation comes, you must respond to it based on the word that God has what now given to you. I am free. Do you understand the point now? I need not do this or that. I have the capacity to say, the Bible says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to unto what now? All of us here. teaching us to do what? To say no to ungodliness. That is key to grace. Grace is not that, oh, you do this, God, God, just keeps allowing you to do everything. No. The grace of God is the energy of God that teaches you to say what now? No. If you go to native doctor, you went. But you can also say, I will not what now? I will not go. And you know that you have the ability, the capacity, and the power to do that. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, so that is just the key. So instead of, let me tell you, in the millennium, the devil will be bound, but men will still be committing what now? Sin. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. The devil will be bound for 1,000 years. But still, there will be men who will be, you understand, committing sin. So it's not the devil that is your problem. Even here, presently, if I begin to, the devil cannot function except to the extent that I give him what now? Space. Yes, the flesh is what he feeds on. If I cut him off from that flesh, he can be here sitting beside me, but I have no business with what now? With him. Jesus said so. He said that the prince of this world cometh, but he findeth what now? Nothing in me. Are we together? So when the devil comes into your room and sits down and puts his leg like this and begin you, ha! Ignore him. You see, there is a barrier. I don't think you understand me. There is what? A barrier between you. You are not in the same frequency. He said that you have been raised up and set in heavenly places, far above. Do you understand what it means, far above? It means beyond the reach of principalities and powers. So how do they connect us? I am the one who does what? Comes down. I am the one who climbs down. How do I climb down? When they like ice cream, me, I like ice cream. Do you understand the point? I go down. How did Dinah get defiled? She went with the daughters of the land. She formed a liaison with them. Do you understand? And then went down with them. This is how it does. So anytime the enemy has access to me, I have gone into where now? Into his territory. Praise the name of the Lord. I pray. I don't know how this is coming up, but I've been looking at the ministry that has been coming, and I think that God wants to cut something off. Praise the name of the Lord. In our lives, so that the church here can move forward. If that disconnection, that circumcision is not done, then the enemy will still keep, manipulating us and all that. But once God is able to do that, strength will come to this assembly. You understand? There's a courage, there's a confidence, there's a boldness. You, without boldness, you cannot function. Because there are all kinds of things to intimidate you, to distract you and all that. But the Lord is giving us victory. Praise the name of the Lord. And I pray that you'll be able to take hold of it and experience victory in your life. Praise the name of the Lord. Experience deliverance in your life. Experience the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. It's not theoretical. Do you understand? It is real. It is practicable. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
I have two questions. The first one was about the justice in the court.
Go on.
You talked of five enemies. One.
About?
You talked of five enemies.
Okay, five enemies. Yes.
You talked of one soul, my soul, darkness in my soul, darkness in the world.
Mm-hmm. Darkness in other souls.
In other souls in the world. Then the world.
Then the devil. And finally, the seed of Christ.
Now, my question is, if I only focus on darkness in my soul, what I want to know is, as I focus on removing darkness in my soul, should I give a back to the darkness of the world, or is it part of me?
Should I do what? If you want to remove darkness in your soul.
No. I have been practically focusing on darkness.
Okay, yes.
Darkness in my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And, other people's darkness in the world, let me give an example. This sister of mine, I live with her, or we are neighbor. And then, I have a weakness or maybe overeating, and other elements of darkness of the soul. Then I focus on removing it. Now, then, along the way, as I'm focusing on making my soul pure, I'm getting attacks from other directions. That, for instance, I'm locking myself in and maybe doing my fasting and prayers and pleading for the blood, and then I'm attacked. Now I'm wondering, as a Christian, do I have to pray for her to get delivered as well, or I have to focus only my removing mine alone?
Yeah. Okay, I see what you mean. Okay. Well, the early Christians tried it. They went into the bush. They called it a hermit. That is, you are there. You go. You run away from the world, so that you, the monks. You know, the early Christians. They go. They go to seminary. So when you are holy in the seminary, then the world does not contaminate you. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus said, "I do not pray that you should do what? Take them out of the world, but that in the world that they might overcome." All right. So that's the problem with the rapture doctrine. Okay. God is not. He's not an escapist. God is that the, what God is doing is so. If God delivers me, and if I go and meet someone, the person is able to defy me, then that means nothing has happened. So the principle is that God works by dispensations. You have to understand that. God works, and what is it? God chose Abraham. Why did God choose everybody in the world at the same time? He chose one man, Abraham. What did he do with Abraham? He established a covenant with Abraham. What did he say? Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. Do you understand the principle? So God comes to you, he's cutting a deal with you. Walk before me and be perfect. You understand? So there'll be a time when God's principle of dealing will now extend to the whole world. That's the millennium. We're not yet there yet. But right now, we're in the place where you, he says, every man deliver his own soul. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Alright? So, your main, yes, it's true. Paul said that through the ministry, you save yourself and them that hear you. It's true. Okay, that when God deals with you, Abraham was a blessing and became a blessing to the whole world. You understand? So, if God is blessing you, you are a vessel. That blessing, see, out of the belly will flow what? Rivers of water. It will bless other people. You understand? So, that deliverance which you have should affect other people. Not them affecting you. That's part of the choice you are looking at. Because, see, as God delivers you, you have a strength to say no to the devil. And with that same strength, you can encourage others. As much as God gives you grace. You know, so you can't take on more than you can. You know, so that is the principle. Maybe other people will.
I don't know if I understand what you said.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I have a problem. I'm dealing with my issue. Then my neighbor comes, okay, and offends me. Huh?
Okay.
And offends me.
Yes.
So now, I have another problem. You know, the one I'm dealing with here, and this is my neighbor now that is my problem. Okay, so what she's saying now, should I stop concentrating on getting out of the darkness for me and also add, you know,
my neighbor,
the salvation of this my neighbor, you know, into my prayer list or whatever.
Okay.
So from when you are talking, something came to me. It's like, even if you concentrate on delivering your soul, like the example that you gave, Brother Hubert gave, you know, that he comes his last Becky. Okay? And say Becky does not retaliate. That is also a ministry, also the person who slaps. Okay? Because when you don't get that
response
that you for, you keep disturbing, that your neighbor keeps coming back to disturb you, and you respond in a godly manner. Yeah, without even going to pray for her, okay, she receives, yes, Okay, she now sees that this woman, she's not like, you know, people that I know. Mm-hmm. You know, they begin, she begins to pay attention, and her soul can be saved just by you concentrating on, you know, doing what is right, you know, from your own angle. Even without saying a word of prayer for her, you know, it can affect her behavior. Robina, then it says,
you know, so in other words, yes. Your main focus is to overcome, but your overcoming will affect other people. You understand? So your overcoming will affect other people. You know, but not that you will. You know, that's because if you begin to carry the burden of everybody, it will be too much for you. You can't handle it. So as God brings people your way, then you will deal with it. It says, forgive. For instance, look at the cross. There's a relationship with God and with others. So you forgive those who, you know. So there's enough strength in you to forgive, to deal with those that God brings to you. For instance, like in fellowship, you're in fellowship. God is not going to bring fellowship with everybody in Uganda. Alright? But there is the people here, and there are the people that will offend you, and you need to forgive. It's part of that growth. Yeah, then they will also offend you, and you will need to, you know. So that rubbing off, you know. So that's why if God brings you to fellowship, you stick with the people that God is bringing, because those are the people you need to grow. You understand? You're not going to expose you to everybody else, you know. So the principle is one: your relationship with God will affect other people. You have something to.
Having the darkness in you, and then you find your neighbor has also darkness, and you are of course, maybe you are concerned about her darkness. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Like we that have come here, it doesn't mean that all the darkness in us, we are finished with it. We are still fighting the darkness even as we are sitting here, but at the same time we are still here as the Spirit leads us. So as you are praying and fasting for your own darkness, the Holy Spirit may nudge you and say, pray for that your neighbor. She also has one type of darkness there. So you pray for her. He may even tell you, go and share a scripture with her or do something for her. And you find that as you obey the Holy Spirit and do that thing, even the darkness that you are fighting, some of it goes. You may even learn something. You may get a deliverance. So the important thing is that as you are obeying, as you are fighting the darkness in you, also be led by the Spirit and do what He says you should do in the world that you are in. If not, you may find out that you drive all the darkness in you, only you in that your room. Nobody is being affected by your own deliverance. Do you understand? Your light is just inside your room. Every other person is perishing, only you going to heaven. Do you understand?
Amen. Okay, you had the second question. Yes.
We are so much dedicated into.
Yeah.
Is
it not obvious? Because if you are dedicated to fight, the devil knows that there's trouble. Because if you overcome the devil, then you will be the instrument of setting free other people. So you are the enemy. Others are not bothered, so he will come after you. Do you understand? So the more you want to overcome, the more the devil will come after you, because he knows. And it's a sign that you are overcoming also. I don't know if you understand. The more problems you have, it's an encouragement that you are about breaking forth. It is meant to discourage you, but if you are wise spiritually, you will know you are actually overcoming the devil. You understand? So he will come after you because he knows that if you break out, you are not going to be a source of strengthening others to also break out. So he will come after you. Why would he waste his resources on somebody who is not even thinking of overcoming? You understand? Why would he? It doesn't make sense. So it's those who want to overcome that he will attack first. You know, Bible says, smite the shepherd, and what happens? The sheep will be scattered. So you come for the head, those who are in control, who know, who are the threat. So the devil will first come after them before he goes after the sheep. You understand? So it's those who want to overcome that will be at the the forefront of the devil's list.
But there's an order for grace.
Of course.
Can I give one scripture?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this has to do with the first question to ask.
Okay.
I'm reading from Romans 12:17.
It says, well, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, never avenge yourself. You know, that your neighbor that is attacking you. Never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil, but... Okay, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, the world will say, when somebody does you evil, give him back fire. In fact, double.
But you keep it stronger than
that's double. Alright? But the kingdom of God, the word of the Lord says, when somebody comes with evil against you, overcome his evil with good. And that is more powerful. That's what they're saying. When you know that somebody is attacking you, bless him. Go and bless him. Several times, much more. The more he attacks you, the more you bless him. It's very powerful.
Amen.
And that's the way.
Let me give a scripture for the second question she asked. Why, when you are, pressing on in God, you attract satanic interest and malice. You know, when David killed Goliath, something happened, and something changed permanently in his relationship with Saul. You know, the Bible said that from that day, Saul began to eye David. Inside David and inside Saul, there were two kingdoms. Now, people didn't understand what was going on. In fact, the secret did not come out until the day that Jonathan asked Saul a question. He said, why must David die? Because he noticed that Saul was pursuing David, and in the natural, he just couldn't make out why. So that day, you know, that satanic secret burst out. He said, he called Jonathan his son, you son of a perverse, rebellious, harlot woman. Don't you know to the shame of your mother's nakedness that as long as the son of Jesse is alive, your own kingdom cannot continue. Now, when you even this word that you're hearing, it attracts serious challenges. Do you understand? Because you are touching a secret that the devil does not want to be known. In other words, somebody is born again, but he has not come into the key of the kingdom. Now, you are coming to it. Somehow, somebody is telling you that you must, you know, cut off flesh. Do you understand the point? The devil doesn't mind people doing that vigil, binding him from now till Congo. Because he knows that you do that, next season, he does what now? He comes back. It's only for a season. But you see, when you begin to go to the root of his kingdom, that is rebellion, and you begin to learn the principle of submitting to the Holy Spirit, you are touching the foundation of his kingdom. He would want to discourage you. Do you understand? That's the key to this thing. And you must maintain focus. If David said, many enemies are surrounding me, but no problem. You understand? I will still do, you know, go forward. So the moment you begin to touch the secret of his kingdom, he comes at you. Most people didn't know why they wanted Jesus crucified. It was for the same, you understand, reason. What he preached undermined their influence. For the priests, it undermined their control over the people. Do you understand the point? So he had to die. For everyone somewhere, his ministry kind of weakened their influence. And it wasn't just them, it was the spirit. When the Bible says that if the rulers of this age had known they would not have crucified. He wasn't just talking about human beings. He was also talking about principalities and what now, and powers. So you are being given something that is going to undermine any man who wants to live godly in this present dispensation will suffer what now? Persecution. Praise the name of the Lord. So just make up your mind. The hotter the thing gets, just persist. It will never last forever. It is for a what now? A while. Praise God.
Amen. So we are seeing did that bang. What happens? Grace did much more. Amen. So I think it's been a very good time, interactive and all that. So we're knocking off now. But Huba will lead us in a short prayer. I'm doing your work.
Thank you so much.
You have allowed me. Okay.